Are you a business person who's tried to sell your product in China, only to find your brand is already trademarked there? Well, for decades, China's trademark rules have frustrated foreign businesses wanting a slice of the massive Chinese consumer market. They found their product names have already been trademarked by someone else, because in China, anyone can trademark a brand name. Well, a French footwear company has done something cheeky. They've put the shoe on the other foot. It's trademarked an iconic Chinese shoe brand called Feiyue, which has been the brand of choice for Chinese martial arts students and school kids in PE lessons since the 1950s. Now the French company has the rights to the brand in France, the US, Taiwan, South Korea, and even here in Australia. Australian lawyer Sean Crichton has been following the case with interest. He's a partner at Moelis Legal and heads their intellectual property practice. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
You've been following this case. How did it all begin?
Well, I understand that the person who brought the brand into France was actually living in Shanghai, and he was practicing martial arts whilst living in Shanghai in around 2005, saw the shoe, bought the shoe, used the shoe and loved it. And I understand he actually tried to contact the owners to do it the usual way and get a license or distribution rights in France when he returned home. Had difficulty in doing that, so thought, oh, well, I'll just set up my own company and register the trademark. And I understand it went from there. And it was so successful that it then branched out, as you noted, to having rights not only in France, but in the USA, Australia, New Zealand, Korea and Taiwan. I understand as part of the loop, though, that on attempting to then do the full circle and then export back into China, that was immediately stopped, and that the original company has said it will sue you for infringement if you attempt to do that.
Well, let's be clear here. I mean, was it a deliberate attempt by the French company to turn the tables on, you know, Chinese trademark practices?
Yes and no. So I understand that the guy who brought who established the brand in France did actually try and become an authorised licensee and therefore distributor. But having been unable to identify how to do that, it was then a case of I will get these rights and to the exclusion of others, including the original manufacturer in China.
Yeah, well, to put this in some perspective, I mean, how big is this Chinese brand?
In 1963, they sold over a million units. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure, I haven't got the stats for what the volume is now, but to put that in perspective, ASICS didn't form until 1949. Adidas would have been a similar time. Nike, 1972. Mm-hmm. So if you're selling over a million units back in 1963 and were founded in 1920, you're a fairly significant player in the market.
Yeah, and Reebok would have been a bit later as well, wouldn't it?
Reebok were an interesting one. They were an original British company, which I think founded over 100 years ago.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. Then
I did not know that.
They were handmade leather shoes for a long, long time before they then got back out into the sort of the mass consumer market. So yeah, Reebok's been around a long time.
Okay. Now, outside China, is the Chinese diaspora, are they the main market for the shoe, or is it popular amongst others?
Well, I think you've now got two markets. You've got a market in China, which is a very significant market, but you've now got a lot of interest and a lot of sales of the shoe in other jurisdictions. So the actor Orlando Bloom was photographed wearing the shoe on a film set, and that sort of sparked interest, and it went from there. So I think you've now got an interesting scenario where the identical or essentially the identical product with the identical trademark is now owned by and distributed by different companies in different markets, which is most unusual.
Indeed. But what happens if the Chinese version of the brand, say, tries to sell its shoes in France?
They would be prevented from it. So the owners of the trademark in France would be able to presumably successfully obtain an injunction to prevent the sale of the Chinese shoe in France.
So is it the same elsewhere? I mean, for example, in Australia, would the Chinese version be impounded on our docks?
It should be, yes, exactly, because the Australian trademark owner for the Feuille brand is the company that registered the French version. So, yes, so if the original Chinese company sought to sell their genuine products in Australia, they would be prevented from doing so on trademark on basis.
If you've just tuned in, welcome to Sunday Extra. I'm Tom Switzer and I'm chatting with Sean Crichton about the shoe being on the other foot, how a French company trademarked an iconic Chinese brand name. And now's as good a time as any to say that Sean's a former Australian champion athlete. This Chinese company never reached out to you, obviously.
They did not, although I did see that track and field is one of the sports that they have been associated with, and that a lot of the martial arts performers in the opening ceremony for the Beijing Olympics were wearing the Feuille shoes.
I can imagine. Now, what impact has this had on the Chinese company?
For decades, they only sold their shoes within China, and that certainly wouldn't affect that market. But the marketplace is now becoming an increasing global marketplace. So now that they're looking to sell their shoes in other markets, they've been now limited to selling and distributing their shoes or appointing distributors in countries where they haven't, where the other company hasn't registered their trademark.
Right. Now, the manager of Shanghai Daifu Rubber Company, and now that has a long relationship with the parent company of the original Feuille, he told the South China Morning Post that the French company are, quote, robbers who took advantage of the Chinese brand during the time when, quote, no one in China knew about commodity intellectual property rights. Is he right?
It's a good question. I saw the same article. A Chinese company calls French firm robbers. So I think it's incumbent on you to become familiar with what the international intellectual property rules are. So it's a case of they should have found out.
Yes. Well, I mean, given China's track record, I mean, do you think some people might react to this story with a touch of schadenfreude?
Without a doubt. There'd be a lot of people who aren't sympathetic to the plight of Feuille. That said, China is slowly but surely tightening up the enforceability of their intellectual property rights. So that's a step in the right direction. And probably part of the rationale for that is we're now finding Chinese are starting to export their goods and services rather than just being ultimately a manufacturer or receiving goods.
Well, Sean, if you look at this in a broader sense, I mean, is it fair to say that ownership of a trademark simply down to who registers first in a particular jurisdiction?
No, it depends on a country by country basis. So
right.
most of the common law countries, so Australia, New Zealand, UK, USA, recognise the rights of the first person to use a trademark.
Right.
So, whereas other countries, including China, it's first in, best dressed. So that's where we get the issue in China arising. So if this was a case in Australia and the Chinese original manufacturer Feuille had exported into Australia, so had actually been the first to use in Australia, they should have been able to successfully oppose the French company's application in Australia.
Right, okay. In countries where trademark is accorded on a first-to-file basis, such as China, is this the reason some international brands find it difficult to break into the market there?
It could be, because what you'll find is they might try and brand, and they might even get threatened of being sued.
Indeed.
Or they might have to rebrand. Or, as Penfolds have just done with the Ben Fu case, engage in litigation, which should take a lot of time and a fair bit of money to fight in another jurisdiction. And the Ben Fu ones for Penfolds, which is the transliteration for Penfolds, which is what Penfolds is apparently known as in China, is an interesting one insofar as trademark law in most countries, and certainly in Australia it's the case, if you've got a registered trademark but you don't use it, after a period of time, someone who's aggrieved by you having that registered trademark can file to have your trademark removed from the register on the basis of that non-use.
Hmm.
So that seems to be the basis on which Penfolds have just reclaimed the Ben Fu trademark, on the basis that the registered proprietor in China hadn't actually genuinely used that trademark.
Well, you mentioned the owners of the Penfolds wine brand. I mean, have many Australian brands been affected in this way?
There would be quite a few. We acted for an Australian company. We filed a trademark for them in China, only to find out that their local distributor they had in place had actually filed the trademark application. So luckily that one was caught early and dealt with as trademark opposition proceedings rather than the contractual position there as well. So that was a bit easier to deal with.
And what company was this, sir?
Maybe I better not say for confidentiality purposes, but it was
right.
it was a company we acted for.
What kind of product was it, though?
it was baby food.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, the practice of jumping on a brand name and registering it in a particular jurisdiction is called trademark squatting in your industry. Is it always done in bad faith?
Yes, it is. If you're squatting on it, the only time it wouldn't be in bad faith was if you registered with an intention to personally use it yourself. If you're using it, registering it to sit on it for the purpose of waiting till someone else wants it and you can sell it at an inflated price, that's a bad faith application.
What has the WTO, what if anything has the World Trade Organization done to address this issue of trademark squatting in first to register jurisdiction? You'd think it would be quite a barrier to trade and therefore something they'd be keen on doing away with, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can actually oppose most of the national trademark laws do have a ground of opposition that you can oppose a trademark application on bad faith. So Australia certainly has it and most jurisdictions have it. The trap with that is you have to catch that the other party has actually applied for the trademark and then engage in the opposition proceedings. So it's just part of it's part of the process. There are other international conventions which do apply, which can help in first to use jurisdictions. It's worth noting. So there's an international convention called the Paris Convention, where if you file a trademark in Australia today, and then someone sitting in, let's assume it's China, next week spots that trademark on the Australian trademark register and thinks, oh, that's a good one, I might get in early and be the first to file on that. As long as the Australian applicant filed in China or other countries within 6 months, their application in China or the other countries would be deemed to be backdated to the date of the Australian application. So that'd jump the queue to be the first to file. So there's some of the mechanisms which are in place, but that doesn't help you if you're expanding an existing Australian registration into another country.
Mm. Sean, it's been terrific talking with you this morning. Thanks so much for your insights.
Pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
That was Sean Crichton. He's a partner at Moelis Legal and specialist in intellectual property practice. You're on RN.